Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's May the 4th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. And we'll discuss the cash grain market today with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator located in Lexington. In agricultural news, the U.S. Senate has voted to offer U.S. farmers nearly $4 billion in disaster assistance. The Secretary of Agriculture has gone to the media to pressure the European Union, and the Illinois General Assembly has moved to make the state more ethanol-friendly. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll hear a feature on the food security lessons learned during World War II. Oh, and just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Stay with us, won't you, for this Thursday edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The May wheat at 352 and a quarter, down a penny and three quarters. July at 362 and a half, off 2.5 cents for the day. Kansas City wheat up a half at 435. Corn futures now, May contract 229 and three quarters, down 2.5. July at 239 and a quarter, off 3.25. September futures at 250 were down 3 cents. And December corn, your new crop harvest month, 262 and a half, off 3.5 for the day. May soybeans at 590 and three quarters were down 2. July at 603 and three quarters, a penny and three quarters lower. And the August at 609, down 2.5 cents. November beans, 622 and a quarter, were down 3 for the day. May bean meal futures, 176.60, up 130. May bean oil at 24.94, down 41. Feeder cattle from the Mercantile Exchange. May contract $100.82.5, off 87.5 for the day. Live cattle June contract $74.20. They were off 92.5. And the May lean hogs at $60.35 a hundred weight were down $1.25 in Chicago today. From the outside markets, crude oil at $70, down $2.28 at this hour. The CRB at 349.97, down 2.23. And the Dow at 11,442, up 42.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange, Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Kind of an interesting day as you look at the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade. And while they weren't very sharp in the downtrend, did run through, I think, the 50-day moving average on the lead option or on the harvest month for the corn futures. What did you make of the trade?
Well, corn markets reflecting the active planting pace that we're on. I know there's not everybody's going here today, but corn planting is still continuing in many areas of the Corn Belt. And if the weather forecasters are right, that pace is going to pick up as time goes on and the current wet areas dry out. So when you've got the corn planters going as active as you do, that is raising speculation that we're maybe going to add a couple million more acres of planted corn acres to USDA's number they released in March. It also tees up an above-average trend line yield for corn. So the market is reflecting a little looser type situation probably than it has basically since the March 31st report.
Technically, does it have you concerned?
Yes. Corn market does look like a top is in place. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's the yearly high or whatever, but the early April high does look like that's holding because we bounced back here in late April and was unable to take that high out on the front months. Basically, the December contract has somewhat of a triple top type formation in it right up against this 274, 275. And now with today's decline, we went down underneath that last week's low. So you have shifted the short-term trend anyway from higher to down right in here this past week. Here.
Does this key in with your cyclical work?
It does with a 7 or 10 week type cycle high that was kind of scheduled to come in play. You know, we had the early April high, then we kind of set back in middle April here for kind of a low, and now we're grinding higher. We had that bounce back there in late April. And now it kind of looks like probably we're in a sideways to lower decline as we go on into late May.
So you're talking about the early April high on the 7th and 19th for the high for the late to mid-April. And then, of course, we went back and touched a high there on May,
right.
I think, 1st or thereabouts, something like that. So, so we've traded down. Where do you think this market is headed at this point, given a normal growing season without any weather concerns?
Well, we don't know, you know, yet. I mean, the way the market is acting, it feels like it went ahead and bought some additional acres from what USDA released back there in March. There's probably even some indication that maybe that number was probably too low to start with. And then, you know, if we did go ahead and buy additional acres with this December futures move up here above this 260, 270 area, and then with crop insurance programs and whatnot. So, I mean, the balance sheet, you know, the size of the crop is still probably going to come in underneath demand. But we are carrying in, you know, a pretty good sizable carry-in. So, even that type of situation could keep the market under pressure through the growing season, and then once the old crop is found a home and the bins are emptied, then maybe the demand market could begin and strengthen through the fall and into next spring, and that'll determine what kind of demand market we have, whether or not we need to ration inventories or not.
Yeah, I've got another question. Since you mentioned crop insurance, how many acres do we insure for crop insurance, and is it really that easy for a farmer to just decide to change from soybeans back to corn, not given any of the crop rotation sorts of things, but surely these acres are insured and they're sort of locked in?
Well, I don't necessarily know what percentage of the acres are insured and then which particular policy is you know, covers the greatest majority of the acreage. I think all that stuff is probably available, but I haven't studied any of that. But I think the rally during the month of February, which allowed December futures price, I think, to have an average of somewhere around 260, probably, and then depending upon which policy you can add, that was a much more attractive situation than probably if the price would have been at $2.40. So I do think producers looking at the balance sheets and whatnot said, you know, I'm locking in kind of 260, or I'm kind of putting a price floor under at 260. If we have a big crop, you know, prices are going to go down, you know, under loan rate, be able to collect an LDP, might even be able to collect some insurance money and whatnot. So I think that had a contributing influence and probably adding some acres into the equation.
This is why people think that the number from USDA may have been wrong on March 31st, then, because the numbers were high enough in February, even if farmers had reported it wrong, reported the acres into USDA wrong, they may have not have made that decision. I don't remember when those numbers are.
Well, and out. Then you have to take into account, this is supposedly as of March 1, so it was probably done, the survey sampling was maybe done during the last few days of February.
Yeah.
And the intentions number is a very limited sampling. It is not a very broad base type sampling. So
8,000 people.
It could have been, you know, the variance factor could be significantly 2 to 3% very easily, and that makes a big difference.
Nonetheless, we're looking at a market now that probably has turned lower, has turned lower, and may continue that way. On the other hand, if you look at the soybean market, are you feeling a little better about that one?
Well, the soybean market, if I was a pure technician, you'd have to be bullish. But being tied in with a farmer advisory service and trying to give farmers recommendations on their crops, you have to look at that fundamental picture, and you have to be a little concerned that the market, this may be a selling opportunity more so than a long-term buying opportunity that probably many chart watchers are probably viewing it. We did come out of the month of April with a monthly reversal up. We have seen some follow-through to that price action. And even though we're off a little bit today, I mean, basically what we've done is consolidate last Friday's advance. We're kind of in a 3 to 5 day consolidation period. Now, the market does need to go ahead and extend out of this consolidation phase to kind of solidify last Friday's jump. But chart-wise, it looks interesting, and it is, I think, basically reflecting probably a lower soybean planting number. And then the other thing that's kind of been adding to the strength in soybean market is the tight producer holding in South America due to the financial situation and low profitability of soybeans down there. As our dollar weakens, their currency strengthens, so that keeps us more competitively priced in the world market than South Americans do.
So you're friendly but cautious in that marketplace.
Yes.
All right. Anything from the livestock we need to touch on?
Well, you know, fundamentally, the livestock markets do look like they're in trouble. But, you know, the cattle market for a while here kind of looked like we maybe had a little double top in place. Now, today's weakness is a little concerning on that and suggests that maybe all we're doing here is taking a pause from the big decline that we saw during, you know, the spring months. Hog futures are maybe in a little better shape on the chart-wise, but they're not a real ball of fire either.
We appreciate you being with us today.
Very well.
And Dan Zwickers with AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report that happens on Thursday afternoons.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
Forecast from our own Mike Sola, sort of short and sweet for the evening. In the south, mostly cloudy. Elsewhere, clear to partly cloudy. Lows will range from 42 in northwestern Illinois to 55 in southern Indiana. Tomorrow, he says, considerable cloudiness, a chance for a few widely scattered showers, some isolated thunderstorms. Those will be mainly in the south. Highs is tomorrow from 57 in the north to 70 in southern Indiana. In a moment, your Ag News. In today's agricultural news, the U.S. Senate showed strong support today for rural America, voting 78-20 for passage of the FY 2006 Emergency Supplemental Appropriations Bill. The legislation includes emergency disaster assistance for farmers, ranchers, and fishermen who suffered significant production and economic losses due to natural disasters. The spending measure provides for agricultural disaster relief for production losses incurred in 2005, as well as losses to wildfires this year. Additionally, it includes relief to help offset increased energy costs incurred by producers, the only segment of the economy unable to pass increased production costs forward. The Senate approved $3.9 billion for emergency agricultural disaster assistance. From Washington, we moved to Geneva, where U.S. Ag Secretary Mike Johanns and U.S. Trade Representative Rob Portman held an hour-long briefing for international journalists yesterday at the close of the two-day talks in Geneva. Those talks were aimed at breaking a deadlock in the Doha round of the World Trade Organization negotiations. Neither reported a breakthrough in the talks at the press event, which appeared to be directed at encouraging the international media to pressure the European Union to improve its offer on market access. Still, Johanns continues to express optimism that a new global trade deal can be reached.
I believe we can get an agreement in this round. I know time is short. I know the weeks pass quickly, but I am absolutely convinced that if we commit ourselves, we can have success in this round.
Johannes continued to promote the U.S. negotiating position, which would cut some U.S. farm programs by nearly two-thirds in exchange for greater market access for U.S. ag products. And Johannes again blamed the European Union for draining the momentum from the Doha round. And Portman suggests the U.S. had already tabled its best offer on domestic support without market access concessions from the European Union. Several prominent members of Congress have said the U.S. should abandon the WTO talks and instead focus on reaching trade deals with individual nations. On the subject of agricultural subsidies, last week, Missouri Republican Jim Talent and Arkansas Democrat Blanche Lincoln announced they planned to introduce legislation in the United States Senate to extend the current farm bill until a new global trade deal is passed by Congress. On Tuesday, that's exactly what Talent and Lincoln did. And yesterday, the National Cotton Council applauded the move. According to the NCC, a farm bill extension would provide U.S. farmers with much-needed support. One more story out of Washington and then some state news. The full Senate Ag Committee will meet next week to review the implementation of the sugar provisions of the 2002 Farm Bill, and on Wednesday, the committee released a witness list for the hearing. Undersecretary for Farm and Foreign Ag Services J.B. Penn is among those scheduled to testify before the committee. The hearing on sugar provisions is scheduled to begin at 9 o'clock Central Time next Wednesday. We'll hear more about sugar a bit later in this program. From sugar cane, we move to another crop used as a sweetener, corn, but this time we'll talk about ethanol and the Illinois state budget. The Illinois General Assembly is expected to pass an ethanol-friendly state budget today, which provides several components that will act as a catalyst for the continued expansion of renewable fuels such as ethanol and biodiesel. The largest and arguably the most significant portion of the bill will provide $20 million to the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, the DCEO, for renewable fuels plant developments, and should expedite the construction of biorefineries in the state, which will manufacture ethanol or biodiesel. The legislation also includes $3 million for new equipment for the National Corn to Ethanol Research Center at Southern Illinois University, another $1 million for that same center to fund new research operations, $1 million to Western Illinois University, where they'll try to maximize the ethanol yield from corn, and $100,000 in funding for Illinois Environmental Protection Agency to expedite permits for ethanol and biodiesel plants. And finally today, one quick word out of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, where they wanted to know just exactly what issues are of the most concern to that state's producers. That's why the group conducted a survey of Wisconsin farmers during the two recent spring farm shows. According to the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Executive Vice President for Public Affairs, it's no surprise what topped the list of producer concerns: health care and renewable energy. That's a look at today's agricultural news. Up next, a little story about food security in the United States. Well, this week marks the 64th anniversary of sugar rationing in World War II. While the memory of sugar rationing may have faded, Louisiana Congressman Bobby Jindal says it contains a critical lesson on the debate for the 2007 Farm Bill as that heats up.
You know, I hope we remember the very important lessons we should have learned during World War II. We should have learned that America must be able to feed Americans. We should not be, again, in a position where we depend on other countries for food. That's one of the reasons it's so important that we pass a strong farm bill. Without a strong farm bill, our farmers, our American farmers who can compete with any farmers in the world, won't be able to put food on our tables right here in America.
As powerful as the memory of sugar rationing in World War II might be, Jindal says it's clear not all in Congress have learned its lesson.
Look at the attacks on the current farm bill, which has worked so well for farmers, so well for grocery shoppers. Let's look at sugar in specific. You know, it was the first food ration. It was the last food removed from the rationing list after World War II, because at that time, America was so dependent on foreign sugar. Now, some in Congress today want us to be dependent again the way we were during World War II. When you have countries like Thailand, where they had a drought, where Brazil's using its sugar for ethanol, we in America would have to do without. We'd have to scramble to have reliable sugar supplies. There wouldn't be the stability, there wouldn't be the security that comes with having homegrown sugar.
J. Jindal is a member of the House Homeland Security Committee, and he says food security is every bit as vital to U.S. interest as energy security.
Well, feeding ourselves has to be at the very top of our list of priorities. Given a foreign country command of our kitchen is a great path to instability and a weakness. It's one of the reasons I'm fighting so hard for us to have a strong farm bill, a strong sugar policy. Look what's happening in energy right now. Countries like Iran, Venezuela, Russia, other countries that aren't always friendly to us, control so much of our economy. These countries can determine the price of energy here in America. We're already dependent on parts of the world that aren't always stable for reliable energy. We shouldn't become so reliable on other countries for our food supply.
Even closer to home for Jindal is the importance of the sugar industry to Louisiana, especially as the state continues to recover from last year's devastating hurricanes. Jindal says the consequences, by the way, of a sugar shortage today would be more devastating for Americans than it was in World War II, because sugar is a vital ingredient in nearly everything Americans consume or eat today. The Department of Commerce says sugar-containing products account for more than 70% of all modern-day food manufacturing.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Joining us now to take a look at the cash grain market is Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, on this Thursday afternoon, we didn't get around to the crude oil, which I think may have been a factor in some things that have been happening in Chicago, at $69.94 at this hour, down $2.34, back under $70 for the day. Kind of an important mark, high water mark, I suppose, for the crude oil. Is that and have the energies, if they crash out just a bit, will that continue to have an impact on the marketplace?
Definitely. I mean, I think just like in the grains, Todd, that $70 mark was strong resistance on the way up, means it's strong support on the way down. So it's pretty critical if we move down below that level. But probably more importantly, on the gas, you know, unleaded gas and heating oil, both, we're down somewhere between 3% and 4%. So, you know, if that probably has as big of an effect on the corn and soybeans, I think, as the crude oil, just because it's a little bit closer connected with the ethanol and biodiesel. But that'd be the equivalent, you know, of a 7 or 8 cent drop on the corn prices, 3% would be.
As you take a look at the numbers in terms of planted acreage in your area, corn farmers, how far along?
I'd say we're somewhere between 40 and 60% for the most part. It's pretty similar as you go, you know, from here east, you go west of Route 39, Interstate 39, you're mostly done. North, you know, up north of Pontiac, you're mostly done. South of Route 36, it seems like you're pretty far along for the most part. So it's kind of this east central Illinois area.
And then the beans?
Very few beans done up in this area. Starting to see a few guys in some of the areas where they are done with corn get some spraying done on beans today.
And the basis on both corn and beans in your area?
Really hadn't done a whole lot this week. Pretty steady. We've got on prices tonight, we got 207 for the corn and 567 for the beans.
The farmers take a pretty good advantage of the last run up in the corn market.
Yeah, you know, I did some work here on the corn December corn futures, looking just at May 4th. July 4th and October 4th, three critical times there. And last 10 years, we've really only seen three times in the last 10 years that prices on July 4th are higher than prices on May 4th. Kind of surprising to me a little bit. But and two of those times were when corn was like 218 and 220 on May 4th. So this is typically kind of a high water period in here, you know, assuming that we go ahead and get the crop planted and don't have any major crop problems.
Given that, you think farmers ought to pull the trigger on any old or new crop sales still?
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you're not satisfied with where you're at on new crop sales, I think you definitely need to get caught up in, you know, we're not that far down from the highs. You know, look for some bounces to get caught up. You go down much lower than this, I don't think you want to chase it down, but I think it's a good opportunity to get caught up. We are recommending some more bean sales right now.
Bill, we appreciate you being with us.
Okay.
Bill Mayer, Rochag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report to take a look at the cash grain market on Thursday afternoons. I'll be back in just about 2 minutes with a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. Right now, your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. An Illinois National Guard unit returned to Champaign-Urbana this morning after 11 months' service in Iraq. 170 soldiers returned to find thousands of people lining a parade route decorated with yellow ribbons and signs reading Welcome Home Troops. The troops from the 2nd Battalion, 130th Infantry, reunited with parents, wives, and children at the Urbana Armory. Similar Welcome Home celebrations are planned for tomorrow for Guard units based in Effingham and Litchfield. Prosecutors will not seek the death penalty against Amanda Hamm, the Clinton woman accused in the drowning deaths of her three children. Prosecutor Roger Simpson today says he made the decision because a jury decided Amanda Hamm's co-defendant, Maurice Legrone Jr., wasn't eligible for the death penalty. Hamm is scheduled to be tried later this year in the deaths of her three children who drowned when the car they were in sank in Clinton Lake in 2003. Democratic leaders today are still trying to round up the votes needed to approve a new state budget and finish their spring legislative session. Illinois Senate President Emil Jones says he isn't worried that last-minute demands from Hispanic senators are stalling a budget vote. The Illinois House approved the budget yesterday in a party-line vote, but concerns from Hispanic Democratic lawmakers in the Senate about needing more education spending prevented a vote here last night. The Indiana Secretary of State's office is investigating problems with voting machines in four southern Indiana counties. Election workers in Clark, Harrison, Jackson, and Washington counties had problems with machines from election systems and software during Tuesday's primary and resorted to entering votes manually. Former Central Illinois lawmaker Robert Madigan of Lincoln died this morning of cancer at age 63. Madigan spent 14 years in the Illinois Senate, retiring in 2001. He served as a voice for downstate issues, including public employee pensions. Robert Madigan's late brother, Edward Madigan, was a Central Illinois congressman and U.S. Agriculture Secretary. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. This is WILL Urbana. It's a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Pete Levitt is away this afternoon, called me at just about 2 o'clock, about a half an hour ago, said he was just getting off of the plane after he had gone on the wheat tour that has been out west, taking a look at what the hard red winter wheat crop looks like for this season. Promises to give me a call a little bit later today or early tomorrow. We'll get a complete update of that wheat crop from him. I'll try to put that on the air maybe tomorrow afternoon or Monday. Here's the forecast as it looks from our own Mike Sola here at WILL. For tonight, he says, in the south, mostly cloudy skies across the two-state region. Elsewhere, clear to partly cloudy. Lows will range from 42 in northwestern Illinois to 55 in southern Indiana. Tomorrow, Mike says, considerable cloudiness, a chance for a few widely scattered showers, some isolated thunderstorms. Those will be mainly in the south. The highs will range tomorrow from 57 in the north to 70 in southern Indiana. The extended forecast, Saturday and Sunday, partly to mostly sunny. Monday in western Illinois becoming mostly cloudy. A few scattered showers, some thunderstorms then. Elsewhere, partly sunny. Highs Saturday and Sunday in the 60s. Highs Monday ranging from the 60s in the north to the 70s in the south. And lows through that period mostly in the 40s with a few 30s in the north. That is today's Closing Market Report. Remember to stay with us for the rest of the afternoon magazine today. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the agricultural markets on a Friday. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.